Chris, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, hello, boys.
Howdy, howdy.
This guy.
So to answer your guys' question, don't worry. I have all the recordings where I'm not connected and y'all are talking.
Oh, I love it.
So I have the minute and 30 seconds you guys were talking about earlier before we got it all sorted out. I also got like the ones where you were yelling at me last week. Don't worry, I have them. They're saved away.
Yeah, I think my favorite part about like you not being able to talk there and stuff like that is afterwards, Anchor tells us that like it was a beautiful recording. They're like, "Well done, good recording."
Does it really?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Oh man, they're really hyping us up.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part is not hearing Mike talk.
You know what? Fine. You know what? The podcast is yours. It's all yours. You take it.
No, it's okay.
All right, everyone. Well, welcome to episode 18 of South of the Blue Line. We've been doing this for a minute, boys. We're almost episode 20.
Wow. Season's almost over already, though.
Right?
Before we get started, I have two comments.
Uh-oh.
First one is I used my Warrior Shifley stick for the first time last night, and it is a magnificent twig. Hmm. I love it. I scored goals. I toe drag.
Whoa!
I dangled people. Whoa! It was crazy. Yeah.
Did you feel the power of Shifley in you while you were playing?
I did. I felt him inside me.
Oh.
That sounded inappropriate.
Don't take that out of context.
No, just snippet that one little segment. Put it on Twitter.
The second thing is I just ate a huge bowl of refried beans, and I'm playing hockey tonight. So I have a secret.
Like when you're trying to break away on a breakaway, you can turn on the jets a little bit.
Exactly. Nobody's going to be following me, I'll tell you that.
Exactly. All right, boys. Well, I know that we got things to do. We got places to be. But I just want to first let you know that I'm hyping this podcast up hard. Like, my girlfriend, I met some of her extended family. And he was talking about, he's like, "What's your major?" And I'm like, "Sports broadcast." And he's like, "Oh, cool." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I record a podcast. You know, I produce it. You know, I have a social media. I run the social media." I was like, you know, I'm really trying to build a brand.
He's a really big deal.
Not a big deal. But anyway, it was actually a relatively hockey game-wise. I mean, it was kind of a quiet week. We didn't have many games. We actually, this coming week, the Oilers are playing so much this week. We have 8 games combined. So first off, shout out to Chris. You won last week at a score of 2-1-0. So, Chris, you are now leading the prediction pool at a score of 5-4-2. I am horrible at this game.
No!
It's all right, Dylan. You're not far behind. You're still within striking distance. You can still make the playoffs.
How many weeks do we have left? I'm really scared now.
You're starting to strategize.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we started off the week with a Edmonton Oilers squad taking on the Arizona Coyotes. And this was an interesting game because probably a couple hours before the game, Twitter comes out and says that Connor McDavid is ill and will not be playing.
And yeah.
We've seen this story happen once before.
In October, I think. Yeah, long time ago.
And I don't think we scored a goal.
That sounds about right.
So first off, we lost 3-2 in a shootout to Arizona. Without Connor McDavid, I will take that. That is much better.
Yeah. I was happy I had hockey that night and didn't have to watch that game.
Listen, I actually caught the third period. The third period, and here's the thing, I actually hadn't checked Twitter all day. I was like hadn't done anything, so I didn't know about. So I turned the third period on and I'm seeing Nuge out there with Draisaitl, and I'm like, all right, interesting idea. And I kept watching. I'm like, where's Connor? And then I thought Connor was hurt. I thought he got hurt in the game. They had to take him out. And I was like, oh, no. Because that would have been worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I look on Twitter, and he's sick. And I was like, oh, thank God. And then Nuge ties it up late. We go to overtime. It was pretty decent overtime. And then shootout, and they just, you know, they beat it. Without Connor McDavid, I will take a point.
Yeah, honestly, like, I watched a little bit of that game. I'm not going to lie. I got some highlights in there. And it looks, you know, also, Lose for Hughes is in full effect right now, I guess.
Oh, so, are you on that train?
I'm, like, on the I hate the NHL train right now. So, I'm on no train.
Oh, no, you're on Chris's train.
Well, yeah, that's probably accurate.
All right, so then on, I believe it was Sunday. Yeah, on Sunday. No. Yes. On Wednesday. Just kidding. On Wednesday. I have notes. They're not very good notes. All right. On Wednesday, the Winnipeg Jets played the Colorado Avalanche, and it was a 7-1 loss for the Jets. Chris,
it was going to be 6-1 for the Avs.
You said it was going to be 6-1. That's right. Yeah, you did.
Oh!
You guessed 6-1 on every prediction for last week, and you got, like, super close on one.
That's so sad.
I actually thought it was going to be 6-1, and then there was, like, a minute left, and they scored the seventh goal, and I was like, damn it.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Chris, what went wrong in this game? Actually, no. I'll ask you here. What went right? We'll start with a positive. What did you see in a 7-1 loss that made you feel – I mean, you obviously felt bad about the loss, but what was one bright spot in your 7-1 loss?
There's two. Number one, Sami Niku is starting to look really good. As good enough, as a matter of fact, that I think that Joe Morrow's time's done as a Winnipeg Jet when he comes back from injury. I think he's going to end up being a press box guy.
Ooh.
Number two, I think, believe it or not, this is going to sound weird, but I think Connor Hellebuyck actually played really well. The score was almost flattering for the Jets. The Jets were 100% checked out of this game. They look like hot fucking garbage.
Yeah, whenever I see things on the Jets happening, I quickly go on Twitter and see and go to Chris's Twitter and see what Chris is thinking about it. And that's basically how I feel about the Jets.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only thing I go on Twitter to do anymore. It's just to look at Chris yell about the Jets. Yeah, it's just very entertaining, you know? Gives me a little bit of a mood boost. So good to see.
That's not very nice.
So Chris, so now what did you see go wrong in this game? Because this was actually a close game until the third period. I think they scored, what, 5 third period goals?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's why I think, like, well, but the thing is the Jets played, like, complete ass the entire game. It was just Connor Hellebuyck keeping them in. And then finally it just seemed like everybody just decided to quit. So whatever little effort they were giving, they just gave up on. And if you listen to the post-game interviews, you know, Blake Wheeler said as much. He said it looked like we gave up.
So actually on my notes, one of the things I have is Adam Lowry's comments.
Oh, gorgeous. What an interview.
So Adam Lowry comes out, just because this is a podcast and people don't know right off the bat, but Adam Lowry comment.
The old Google machine.
Comments. Yep, out early. I also don't know how to spell. Here it is. Can I just get a...
We fucking sucked. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what he says.
He said we're fat on our previous success, and we don't believe we have to work hard anymore. And he also said we think we're better than we are.
Wow.
At least it's coming out now and not, you know, in 2 months from now, halfway through the playoffs.
Yeah, so he goes, no. Awful. It's terrible. It's unacceptable. This way we still, the way we were still, I got, see, I have closed captionings on YouTube. I got to see that I'm surprised, you know, I mean... Here, they'd be hungry that they're fighting for a playoff spot, I guess. And we're fat and comfortable, all right, because, you know, the effort wasn't there. Top to bottom. Come on, keep going. We didn't look like ourselves, knowing nothing's given this league and everything's good. Everyone's good and there's nothing we can do and it's fucking embarrassing.
Hmm. Sounds like a little bit of complacency from the Jets then.
Oh, yeah, no, I think he hit it on the head.
It's been that way since the All-Star break. You remember, I've been complaining about the Jets for quite some time now.
Yeah, you said they've kind of been coasting a bit.
They have, but not last night, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. All right, so 7-1 loss. All right, then we go to the Edmonton Oilers play the New York Islanders for the second time in a week. Connor McDavid is back in this one, and whoo, boy, what a game.
It was a fun one. I almost turned this game off after the first period.
I was, to be honest, okay, so I said all day, I want to watch this game at my house, on my, like, at my apartment, on my big TV, you know, the whole, you know, like, put my jersey on, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, really, and get
so,
into it.
So then I ended up, I was at my girlfriend's house, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go, and it was late, because the game started at 9, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back to my place so I can watch the game. And she was like, well, she's like, just watch it on your phone. And I'm like, well, yeah, but see, I've been wanting to do this, and I know I'm here right now, but, like, I really got to go back, because I've been wanting to do this all day. So
it's just not the same, you know?
So
I swear to God. I swear to God, this Meredith chick, are you still dating her? Is her name Meredith?
No, first off, it's Maya.
Oh, it's same fucking shit.
Do you know one person named Meredith?
Yes, Mike's girlfriend.
So I end up going back to my place, and she was upset with me. And then I'm watching the game, and the Oilers go up. It was 2-0.
You better believe it.
Yeah, Oilers go up 2-0. I'm like, yes, this is why I came home. Good decision, Michael. Hell yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then within the last 10 minutes of the game, they score to make it 3-1 or 2-1. Yeah. Then we give them a 5-on-3. And they score to make it on the 5-on-3, 2-2. And then on the 5-on-4, they score to make it 3-2 with, like, 30 seconds left in the first period. And I was like, no! Oh, my God, why have I done this to myself? Luckily, Oilers come back. They win it 4-3 in overtime.
Mm-hmm. Beauty goal by McDavid.
Beauty goal by McDavid from Big Sexy, the German, Leon Draisaitl.
Leon
also potted another power play goal in this one. Gagne scored his first goal at home since returning.
Cleffy got a nice one.
And we tied it up late, just like in the Arizona game. So we've been coming out with some fight, and it's been nice to see. We also outshot them to absolute holy hell.
Yeah, like the Oilers, I thought, had a really good game that game. Koskinen had to make a couple big saves, and he came up with them for sure.
Late in the third to keep it close.
Yeah, I thought the reffing was absolutely atrocious.
Okay, so now in this game, Chris, I'm sure I know you've seen this because you were talking about it on Twitter a bit. Dalton, I definitely know you've seen it. McDavid is going for the puck. Nick Leddy is also going for the puck. Nick Leddy fumbles the puck, and McDavid then finishes his check. Leddy spins around, hits the ice, takes a little bit to get up. McDavid, 2 minutes for a hit to the head. Nick Leddy on this play gets up and was prepared to play on the power play he just drew until Trotz pulled him off for concussion protocol because there wasn't much time left in the period. Anyways, and he left and literally came back the next period and played next shift.
Now, was it a concussion spotter that pulled him off?
No, it was Trotz. If you watch, because they actually showed it on the broadcast I was watching, McDavid hits him. Leddy is like gets up from the ice and skates over to his position on the power play, like at the faceoff dot where he'd stand at the point. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of looks around confused, and Trotz is on the bench signaling to the ref, number two, come off, because I guess Leddy didn't hear him, so Trotz told the ref, he was like, number two, come off. Like, Trotz was just like, listen, he took it to the head, he took a little bit to get up, like, we have a power play, the period's almost over, just come off, you can get back out there if you're fine.
Yeah, he looked like he had a conky at that point, or at least was pretty, he had some symptoms for sure, because he wasn't skating too right there, so.
All right, so I guess we can get into it right now. If we want. So McDavid has a hearing for the play and is suspended. It comes out yesterday that he is suspended 2 games. How do we feel about this?
I'd like to say furious would probably be the right word. Maybe disappointed would be another good word for it. Almost like a little bit of betrayal, it feels like, as well, because it's like McDavid, I don't think this should have been two games, first off. Because okay. I think the primary point of contact wasn't the head, it was the chest. Now, to be fair, the secondary point of contact was definitely the head. So I think the penalty on the play, the 2 minutes, fair enough.
I agree with the penalty. The penalty, yeah. I 100% agree with.
Yeah, you can't do that. Like, straight up, McDavid, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But it's just the kind of hits, like even like the Drew Doughty one from a little while back where he elbowed McDavid in the side of the head when he was skating up the ice. Like, it's the kind of thing that happens to McDavid over and over and over again.
All right, so the thing, so I saw a lot of that on Twitter. There's a lot of stuff that's not called on McDavid. But the thing that really frustrates me is Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid. He is the best player in the league. Okay, so first off, if you're in the NHL, you want the best player in the league playing as much as possible. Second off, the hit wasn't, like, malicious.
No, it like, didn't look like he was trying to kill the
like
guy.
He didn't like, get the red mist. He was just trying to finish, like, a check, really.
Yeah.
And he caught him in an awkward spot. Two, McDavid, like, even in the play, watching the play, turned off the gas. Because if he wanted to, he could have killed Letty.
Yeah.
Like, Letty was
like,
in,
he was coasting for a long time.
Yeah, Letty was in, and he didn't leave the ice. Like, it wasn't a clean hit, because he obviously took a penalty, but, like, in the sense of, like, the rules, you can't leave the ice, you can't raise up, right, you can't take too many strides and all that. Like, everything was by the book.
Elbow close to his body. Like,
there was never done anything like this before. He profusely apologized for it in his post-game interview. Said that none of that was his intent. And so then he gets the two games when an absolute hitman in Radko Gudas literally smacks someone in the back of the head with his stick on purpose, two games. Evgeny Malkin turns around and swings his stick at someone with the intent to literally cut them, like, smash them across the face with it. He missed, and he only gets one game. That's what really gets me annoyed. Chris, what do you think?
You know what I think. The Department of Player Safety is the biggest hoax, joke, bullshit department I've ever seen in my entire life. There's no rhyme or reason to what they do. There's so much bias put on who the players are, where the players are from. And they, you know, there's no consistency on this type of hit is this type of hit is this, and then, you know, having a proper escalation of punishment for repeat offenders. There's no way, knowing Connor McDavid the way he plays and looking at that hit, that there was any intent or foul will. I think he should have been fined and warned. That should have been where it left. I think the 2 minute penalty on the ice was the appropriate penalty.
Agreed. I agree.
Just to contrast, Max Pacioretty, who's known for doing shit in the past, I'm not actually sure if he's been suspended before, but he had one play in the game last night against the Jets where he did the exact same thing to Dmitry Kulikov, the exact, so much so that Kulikov's helmet popped off his head. Then he skates up the boards and proceeds to butt end Adam Lowry in the face intentionally. He gets a 2 minute penalty. I've not seen anything anywhere about this happening. Any type of call or meeting or anything.
Yeah.
And that is what is wrong with the NHL and the Department of Player Safety.
Well, the thing that also really bugged me about this is McDavid afterwards, right? So he gets a suspension. He goes in, he said, I pleaded my case and they listened, but I don't think they really cared.
Yeah. It seemed like they had their mind made up.
Like, as soon as they saw the hit, they had their two games, they were ready. He got on the phone and he said, and he was like, basically, this is what happened. I didn't mean for this to happen. There's all this other evidence that says that, like, there's this other stuff that happens to me and doesn't get called, and, like, all this stuff, and just, like, look at the type of player I am. But they were just like, we hear you, we understand you, two games.
It's the kind of stuff like this that makes me, like, never want to watch the NHL again.
It just doesn't make sense.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I agree.
It's stuff like this that makes me a Winnipeg Jets fan and not an NHL fan. When I was younger, I watched any game I could get my eyes on. I, like, watched highlight shows, and I was so into all the players and all the happenings around the league. And now I am specifically a Winnipeg Jets fan. If the Jets aren't playing, I don't watch. If the Jets are out of the playoffs, I don't watch. And yeah. I think that
See, I'm still kind of young in that sense that I'm like, NHL, all the hockey, all the time, wow. Inject it into my veins.
You're also not that bright, so.
Oh, no.
Well, like, I kind of see what Chris is saying is going to happen to myself, too, because, even a couple of years ago, like, I loved hockey in the NHL so much more than I do now, just because I don't know, maybe I'm seeing it for its true light for the first time kind of thing, but it's just, if the Oilers aren't playing, I don't want to watch anymore. That's pretty much what it's gotten to at this point.
Yep, and my love of hockey has not waned whatsoever. It is stronger than ever. I watch World Juniors. I watch junior hockey. I watch European tournaments. Like, I love hockey. I play it. I love it. I watch it. But I do not love the NHL. And if the NHL wants to become part of the conversation as a legitimate major North American sports league, they've been sitting around the fringes no matter what they do. And part of the reason is the way they just don't have credibility.
So first off, the NHL hates fun. And we've talked about that when it comes to the Carolina Hurricane celebration, right? Like, if you look at the NBA and stuff like that, like, they show up in crazy outfits before games. They're literally tweeting at each other, being like, yo, bro, I wish I could play with you. I know your contract's up. Come play with me here. They're like, or they, like, call them out. They're like, oh, screw you. Like, meet me on a court. They do, like, commercials. They yell at their coaches on the sidelines. Like, it's the entertainment value of the NBA, in my opinion, is off the charts. And, like, and then the thing also is they have consistency. Like, the NBA is run really well. Like for someone who sits down and has never really watched a basketball game, you can sit down and pretty much figure out what's going on relatively fast. And it's the same. Whereas, like, if you sit down with someone who's never watched hockey before, or, like, doesn't really understand the game, or just, like, the way that it, the whole league is, and you try and explain it to them, you're like, there's so many, like, caveats and, like, weird explanations and, like, things where they're like, well, why did this happen? You're like, well, this happened because this other thing happened, but it didn't really make sense then, and since then it's been overturned, but they have to do it now, and it's just, it's confusing. There's no consistency, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I've never watched a game of NBA in my life before last year. And I sat down with my roommate, and I probably watched, like, 6 or 7 Timberwolves games. And, like, it wasn't my favorite thing in the world, but I could understand it immediately. Like, it was fun. I enjoyed myself. It's just very, very frustrating with the NHL. Its lack of entertainment value, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, though, we got way off topic. I will take the 2 points on the Islanders game.
It was a fun game.
I will take the 2 points. So, Dalton, my question for you is, does this, the 2 points we just get, does it reignite your fire for we can make the playoffs?
Maybe if McDavid wasn't suspended for 2 games.
Fair enough. But all right, so here's my question. If we win one of the next two, so we get 2 out of a possible 4 points without McDavid, are you?
No. Basically, the only way I'm going to get back into, like, hey, the Oilers might actually be in this thing, they got to go in, like, a 5-game. They got to win the next 4 games straight. And then it'll be a little bit more of an, all right, maybe they have a chance at this point.
So next 4 games, you want them to beat Anaheim. Doable. I think they could do it without McDavid. I think if there's 2 games that McDavid's going to miss and that we have a chance to win, it's the Anaheim game.
Yeah, I think the Oilers could beat Anaheim. They're in a freaking tailspin right now.
Yeah, then we play Nashville.
That's going to hurt.
Without McDavid.
That's going to really hurt.
And then first game back, Toronto.
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
And then we have Ottawa.
Which is the most winnable game of them all, probably.
Most likely.
At that point, they're not going to have Stone to Zingle, and they already lost Duchesne.
Yeah. Okay, so last game of last week, and Chris, I know you're excited about this game. This was a hell of a game. It seems like, honestly, most Jets nights, they have a little bit of animosity because of the playoffs last year. This was a good game. Jets win 6-3. Chris, tell me about it.
Jets decided they wanted to play some hockey. Nick Ehlers came back after 20 games gone. We really missed him in his zone entries and his speed. All the lines got thrown into a blender, including what everybody was begging for, which was for Patrick Laine to play with Mark Scheifele, although he played his off wing, which is what people didn't want. They just want a Wheeler off that line.
Laine scored.
Mm-hmm. Two.
He certainly did. But he scored on the power play, so that really wasn't line dependent. But so the Jets opened up the scoring, got out to a quick 2-0 lead, and it was both driven by Nick Ehlers. He's a little engine, man. He's a fantastic player. Yeah, he scored like in his first shift, like 30 seconds into his first shift back.
Yeah, 45 seconds into the game.
So that's pretty good. I think Scheifele and Wheeler still looked like ass last night. They were the two players that looked bad. And even Wheeler, like, fed Laine for one of his power play goals. And it was like he was forcing himself to make plays. Like, he was bobbling the puck a lot. But Scheifele just looks just lost out there right now. But
do you think they're maybe a little tired?
I don't think so, because they had the All-Star break, which, let's face it, that's not a lot of work. And then they just had recently, like, a few days off. I don't know. I don't think they're tired. I don't know what it is.
Maybe they're trying to save a little bit in the tank here for the playoffs, for a deep run.
I guess, but
I don't know. I don't feel like very many NHL players would do that either, right? Because it might be kind of hard to switch it off here and then try and switch it back on again, right? So
I will say, though, Patrick Laine had the best game I've seen him play in months. He was engaged. He was physical. He was forechecking hard. He was aggressive with the puck, not just because he scored two goals, although it was nice to see him get his shot, his laser shot on and like accurately again. But like, for instance, Scheifele got boarded from behind into the boards by Englund. No penalty, of course. Mm-hmm. And Laine came in and gave it to Englund. And you know, big Englund is, he's a monster.
I remember Englund from when he used to play for the Flames.
Yeah. Laine went right in there after him. He gave him a good shot, and then he went into his position A and scored a power play goal.
Awesome. That's probably encouraging to see.
Yeah. So the Jets played really, really great.
Did Nikku play last night as well?
He did.
And still looking good?
Oh, yeah. He makes mistakes born out of offensive-minded defenseman's kind of decision-making. Like, he made a pass up the middle that got cut off, and I think he got caught up the ice once. But for the most part, he's really he's really starting to figure it out on the defensive side of the puck. He's starting to be more physical. He's starting to protect the puck a lot better. So it's very impressive.
Would you say that this was probably, out of the couple games the Jets have played, this has been their most complete game?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they still had times where they ran around, but keep in mind, Vegas is desperate. That was their eighth loss on home ice in a row. They're like, I can't remember what their record is. It's like 2-8-2 or something like that in their last 12. Don't quote me on that, but obviously they're plummeting. So, you know, this team's desperate to get some wins. So,
yeah. But Vegas is 3-6-1 in their last 10, so that's not very good at all for them.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, there's going to be some, like, desperation there, especially considering they're playing the Jets. But the Jets played a great game. One of the goals scored in the third period was amazing. Tanev crossed the blue line and lit up the defenseman, just blew him up. And then Lowry went in and scored. It was, like, amazing. So great.
Tanev has become a great player for you guys.
Love him. We're not going to be able to keep him, unfortunately. He's going to be too expensive, but he's going to be great for somebody. That's why I think we're developing Brendan Lemieux to take his spot.
Mm, yeah. Have him around for a little bit of a cheaper. Well, so that's last week's games, boys. So the NHL trade deadline is almost upon us. 2 days until then. So we'll do a quick little lightning speed run through what we guys think about the trades from the last little week. But Chris is gone.
Oh.
But before
I made it 30 minutes. It's pretty good.
Yeah, no, pretty good. But before we get to the trades, I actually have one small little piece of fun news to talk about. Nothing huge, but John Tortorella's most recent comments. So yes. Chris, before we get to trade stuff, the one off-topic piece of news I have is some John Tortorella comments.
Oh gosh.
So have you? I mean, Dalton, do you know what comments I'm referring to?
Oh, absolutely.
Chris, do you know what comments I'm referring to?
No idea.
Awesome. So John Tortorella had to scratch Artemi Panarin before a 3-2 loss to the Canadiens due to an undisclosed illness. He then was asked then, obviously after, he had to scratch the Blue Jack, arguably the Blue Jackets' best player. John Tortorella said that he was sick, and so here's the quote. He's sick as a dog. That's why he's out. He shit his pants. He was puking enough.
Oh my god, he's amazing.
Oh man,
nice.
So we love John Tortorella, and it actually kind of ties back in over to the Oilers, because when McDavid was scratched, then later in the week, with an undisclosed illness before, they asked Hitchcock if maybe he had the same thing that was wrong with that, like what Tortorella said, and Hitchcock just kind of chuckled and was like, no, I'm not getting into that.
You know, I really like Hitchcock as a coach. I really hope he stays for next season.
I don't think he's gonna.
I hope.
I think the only thing that will bring Hitchcock on to stay is who we get as the next general manager.
Mm.
I think if we bring in someone like real sexy, you know, like maybe like a Mark Hunter or like maybe Steve Yzerman, everyone cross your fingers.
Oh my god, please.
Something like that. I think we bring in like a nice, sexy, like good GM, he stays. But you know, if we like bring in like, all right, we're gonna give Keith Gretzky a shot at it. Here you go, buddy. He's
you
gone.
Know what, Craig McTavish? You were doing pretty good last time. Here, you have the reins.
Exactly. But anyways, those were Tortorella's comments. He basically said that Artemi Panarin was shitting his pants.
Incredible.
Torts never change. All right, so now we have some trades from last week. So we will start with a bit of a – I mean, again, no, it's not that small. So on February 20th, the Boston Bruins acquired four – Coyle from the Minnesota Wild in exchange for Ryan Donato, one of their really good prospects that's cracked their lineup now, and a fifth round pick from the Bruins. So Wild get Donato and a fifth, and the Bruins get Charlie Coyle. So obviously Coyle is a bit older, a bit more expensive. I would also say he's hit his ceiling. Like Charlie Coyle is Charlie Coyle. He's not getting any better. What do you guys think?
Well, Charlie Coyle is a pretty good player. This is and Donato's definitely not a sure thing right now. So I think this is a pretty big win for Boston, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really have a lot of faith in Donato, and Charlie Coyle is like a solid, at worst, what, third line center? Second line center on
a
bad team?
Second, third line. Yeah, second line center on like a team that is kind of hurting, but second, third, he can definitely hop through the lineup.
Yeah, I think that's like exactly kind of what Boston needs right now. Just give them a little bit extra so that when they inevitably have to play the Lightning, they're going to be a little bit more prepared for them.
Yeah. Here, let me go to his. All right, Charlie Coyle. This season with the Minnesota Wild, Charlie Coyle, in 60 games played, he has 10 goals, 18 assists for 28 points in 60 games. 16 penalty minutes and a plus one.
Got to stick that plus one in there, you know.
Well, you know, plus one, he's a good player.
Exactly.
So now Ryan Donato. Uh-huh. Let's look. Ryan Donato. Exactly. All right. Ryan Donato. So Charlie Coyle has not played a game yet for Boston. Donato has. And actually, wow. Okay, so Donato has split this season between the Boston Bruins and the Providence Bruins. So basically last year, he exploded on the scene. He played 12 games and had 9 points. Mm-hmm. This season, he's played 34 games. He has 6 goals, 3 assists, 9 points, and a minus 11.
Yeah. He, it's if you're looking, apparently he had pretty good numbers. I think in university he was before this.
Yeah, for Harvard he was over a point per game. So his last season at Harvard he had 43 points in 29 games.
Yeah, like that kind of guy. It's promising for sure. But he is also a little bit older, and the fact that he's already not really killing it in the NHL.
Yeah, he's 22.
If I was more of a rebuilding team, kind of like, you know, a Buffalo or like a Rangers or something like that, then I'd probably keep that kind of guy, right?
Yes.
He might be something great. But for Boston right now, they kind of got to go for it, right?
I'd also help, so especially with Pasternak and Bergeron kind of jumping in and out with injuries. You think Boston took this one then?
I think Boston wins it, but I don't really think the Wild lose it, but I kind of do at the same time. It's a little bit weird because the Wild are right now, they're in a playoff spot. So this feels like kind of a weird trade to make for them.
Here's what I will say. Ryan Donato has played two games so far for the Minnesota Wild. He has 3 points plus two.
Oh, Minnesota won the trade, confirmed.
Yep. So, I mean, Chris, what do you think?
Wow. I didn't think you guys were ever going to stop talking.
I love to talk, man.
I like Charlie Coyle. He's big. He can play. I mean, he's not going to score a ton of goals, but I like the way he plays. He's very physical. He's a cycling beast. And, I mean, I'd rather have him on my team than a guy like Lucic.
Well, no question.
Literally at this point, I would rather myself on that team than Lucic.
Yeah, you'd be on a cheaper contract.
For real.
What are your thoughts on it, Michael?
You know what? I mean, I thought Donato was a bit, I don't know, for some reason. So I listen to the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and one of the guys on Spit and Chicklets is from Boston. So when they are talking about, and they actually interviewed Donato, like he was on and they talked to him, like he was one of their interviews. And so I guess because of that, they hyped him up. So in my mind, I thought Donato was like this real good, like stud prospect sort of thing. And he's looked decent. Like, I remember last year some of his highlights. Like, he obviously 9 points in 12 games right out of the bat. Like, I thought he was going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But I do agree with what you're kind of saying, Dalton. It is a kind of a weird time for Minnesota to be making a trade for kind of one of their cornerstones for the last little bit.
Yeah. It's like they're trying to start a rebuild while they're midway through the season and in a playoff spot.
Yeah, I agree. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah, with a couple of, like, almost unmovable contracts on their team in, like, Parise or I think you probably could move Suter, but...
Yeah, you probably move Suter.
But it'd be kind of tough because both those cap hits are just so high.
Yeah. Okay, so then the next day, Washington Capitals acquire Carl Hagelin for a 2019 third round and a 2020 conditional sixth.
Pittsburgh's now paying Hagelin to play for Washington.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, they bought him out. That's right.
Or are they retained or something like that, yeah.
So Chris, we'll start on you. Does this make the Capitals – I mean, obviously it makes the Capitals better. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, do you want to be a team that's really good for a certain amount of years, or do you want to be a team that just has a shorter window where you have a better chance of winning the Cup? Like – knowing the Washington Capitals and how long it took them to win a cup, I actually don't mind this too much because I feel like they think with the core they have now, they might have more of a chance of like winning another cup or another couple cups over the next year or so, which, you know, then that's a good play to make. Personally, I wouldn't do it as a GM because I don't know. First of all, I don't think that they're coming out of the Eastern Conference. Unless something catastrophic happens to Tampa Bay, they're just such a dominant team. So to mortgage the future, like that's two draft picks. I don't know. For a Carl Hagelin, that's almost like just like strengthening your roster. It's not even like acquiring a specific need. You're just trying to make yourself deeper. So no, I don't really like it, but
yeah, I'm kind of indifferent about it. I mean, a 2019 third, okay. 2020 conditional sixth. Okay.
What's the condition on that sick? Do you know?
It's probably if he re-signs with them, to be honest.
Probably something like that, yeah. Maybe if they make the cup finals or some stupid.
Yeah,
like
that. It would play a certain amount of games. I don't know off the top of my head. So I'm kind of indifferent about it, to be honest. I mean, I don't know why people are so down on Hagelin. I didn't think he was so bad.
I like him.
He's fast, bro.
Yeah, that's probably why I like him, because he fits the mold of the player I like. So
yeah,
I think this is a win-win trade. I do think Washington should probably be buying a little bit here, because I don't know how big
he's selling. So
yeah, well, and like Washington's how long realistically do you think their cup window is?
Honestly, I give him maybe this year next. If
I'd say 3 years, I think, because I think Ovechkin's gonna be that good for that long, and I think also the other pieces on the team are young enough that they're gonna be fine. But it's they definitely need to be in win now mode, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, jumping ahead. Next day, a lot of stuff happened on 22nd. The Columbus Blue Jackets acquire Matt Duchene and defenseman Julius Bergman from Ottawa in exchange for forward Vitaly Abramov, Jonathan Davidson, a 2019 or a 2020 first round, and a conditional first round. The condition on the first round is if Duchene re-signs with Columbus at the end of this year. How do we feel about this one? Because this is a blockbuster right here, boys.
Well, it really shows that Columbus is going all in.
So do you think that they are trading Panarin now, or do you think they're holding on to him and they're just going for it?
Well, their GM made some comments, I think it was yesterday, about that this situation exactly. And he said, unless there's a situation where they can get somebody like Panarin back, they're not going to do a deal with them. They're basically betting on the rental right now.
Yeah. Chris, how do you?
I think it's fucking stupid. Honestly, like, think about it. Like, so they just gave away a bunch, right? And it's quite likely that they're going to get knocked out in like the first or second round. And then they're going to lose probably two players. They're going to lose Panarin and Duchene. So they're
And Bobrovsky.
Right. So I think it's, if they were stronger and like, who knows, maybe they're going to make a couple more deals, right? Maybe they're going to get like, you know, fill a couple more needs, but I still think that team is too far away. You make a deal like that if you think you're going to win the cup, in my mind. And they are not.
Yeah, they were one of the worst teams in the league just 2 years ago. It's just, I don't think.
So, but here's the thing, though. If you're the GM and you sit down, you look at your roster, all right? You got Bobrovsky, who's not playing very well this year, but he's still Bobrovsky. You've got Panarin. You just grabbed Duchene. You've got Seth Jones, Werenski, like not a horrible decor. You've got other pieces, right? You got Foligno. You look at it, and I mean, okay, so, I mean, we have the kind of the luxury of being able to look at other teams and be like, Tampa is there. Like, they're going to get crushed, or Pittsburgh or Washington or whatever. Like, if you're the GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets, you look down, you look at your roster, do you not think that this roster has at least the potential to do it now?
Like, every fiber of my being for Columbus right now, like, if I was a fan of Columbus, I'm going to be, like, tearing out my hair. Because I don't even know right now what I want them to do, and I have no skin in the game. Like, they could have sold very easily at the trade deadline and gotten a huge haul back for the future, or they can go the route they're going right now, which is buying. And, like, I think they have a shot for sure. Just need Bobrovsky to get hot, and then you have a shot, yeah. But
it's so risky. It's a major gamble.
Yeah, it's just so risky.
Yeah, yeah. So, quick little touches since Matt Duchene has been traded. So that leaves – there are two other players in Ottawa that are currently sitting out because they don't want them to get in. Mark Stone and Ryan Dzingel. What do we think happens with both of them, boys, real quick?
Apparently with Stone, according to Mr. Bob McKenzie, there's like a 1% chance he resigns. So he's almost certainly gone, and it looks like if Stone's gone, then Dzingel's also gone. So Ottawa's gonna suck.
Okay, so here's my question: where do you think they're gonna go? So Dalton, where do you think Stone's going?
I think he's going to the Jets.
Chris, where do you think Stone's going?
You know,
there's been a lot of talk about the Jets.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think he's going to the Jets.
I think the Jets kind of need him right now because, like, I think the Jets have the best chance right now coming out of the Western Conference. And if they're going to beat Tampa, they need just a little bit more. And I think Stone could definitely be it.
So, Chris, you know the Jets roster very well. Who are you willing to lose or, like, what are you willing to give up for Mark Stone?
Well, shit. I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because you don't know if he's going to re-sign.
Right.
So that's my biggest issue. Obviously, we're going to give away our first rounder, which isn't even going to be a high first rounder this year. So that goes without saying. And then you have to start looking at players like, is it going to be Sammy Nikku? Is it going to be Jack Roslovic? Is it going to be Christian Vesalainen? Like, those are the Jets. Like, those are the Jets.
They're big pieces.
Big pieces. And even, like, Roslovic is a part of our team. Yeah. But I think if Stone came the other way, that would mean Roslovic really didn't have a spot on the team. So I would hate to lose Jack Roslovic. If we could convince them to do, like, a first Eric Comrie and Nick Petan. I'm just saying, I'd be excited. It's
never going to happen. You would see Chris streaking down the road, completely buck-ass naked, screaming praise for the GM of the Jets.
Yeah. There is another dark horse player that I think could be attractive. It's Logan Stanley. I don't know if you guys know him.
I've heard of him.
But he's a monster, and he's a guy that kind of the Jets kind of picked off the chart a little bit. Like, they really picked up where he was supposed to be drafted because they really like him. And I think they liked, like, what the potential was for him. At the time, he was a little bit slow and clumsy, as really tall defensemen are at that age. But he's shown really nice progression. And the Jets, everybody knows the Jets amateur scouting is amongst the best in the league. So that is a potential, but I honestly don't know if the Jets would want to part with him. So I don't know.
Chris, I have a Chiarelli-esque move for you. What would you think about trading Patrick Laine for Mark Stone 1-for-1?
I would never do it.
No?
No, why would you do that?
What if you got the guarantee that Mark Stone would resign?
No. Why would you do that when you could just say, hey, Mark Stone, when you're a UFA, why don't we negotiate on a contract with you and we keep Patrick Laine and we also get Stone? Why don't we do that? He's a UFA. He doesn't have the same value. Yeah, still have four cost-controlled Laine years. And I just – no, I don't think you do that.
All right. So now, last player, Dzingel. What do we think happens to Dzingel? Crickets. Dalton, what do you think? Where do you think Dzingel's gone?
Man, I've been so focused on Mark Stone. I heard Calgary a couple times was looking at him.
Please, no.
I hate the Flames so much.
I want the Flames to make a big play from Mark Stone and then lose in the first round and have them leave in free agency. There's my dream scenario right there.
I think Dzingel is going to Edmonton.
I actually have heard a little bit of talk about that too.
Elon Lucic, 1-for-1.
Ah, good trade. I'm sure they'll go for it. They need more grit.
Chris, where do you think Dzingel's going? He didn't like the question.
That's right.
So we'll move on to the biggest trade of the week. The Florida Panthers acquire Vincent Prapland from the San Jose Sharks for future considerations.
Well, like, this future considerations kid, I think he's going to be pretty good.
You know what?
I've been moved around a lot. But,
yeah. Okay, so Washington Capitals acquire Nick Jensen and a 2019 fifth-round pick from Detroit for Madison Bowie and a 2020 second. This trade for the Capitals befuddles me. So
tell me why it befuddles you.
So, Chris, we are talking about Washington trade to Detroit, Madison Bowie in a 2020 second in exchange for Nick Jensen and a 2019 fifth. And I was telling Dalton about how it befuddles me. And it befuddles me in the fact that Madison Bowie is a very good prospect. Nick Jensen is a defenseman.
Yeah, a good bottom pairing defenseman, I'd say.
I'm pretty sure that the Capitals don't need Nick Jensen. I don't know why they did it. They lost. I mean, they lose a second round pick next year and Madison Bowie, who was a decent. It just doesn't make sense. I did not understand this deal.
Yeah. But well,
how's the Capitals like? How's the Capitals like 5, 6, 7, 8 D though?
Let's go look. I will pull up cap friendly. Okay.
Because you know, it's easy to lose 3 or 4 defensemen, right?
Oh, and Nick Jensen signed with the Capitals.
Yeah, that contract is not very good though.
At 2.5
for 4 years.
So that makes it even worse, in my opinion.
It definitely doesn't feel good for, like, I feel like the Capitals definitely overpaid here.
Yeah, I do as well. Okay, so the Washington Capitals on defense. They have John Carlson at $8 million till the end of time. They have Matt Niskanen at 5.75 until 21-22. Dmitry Orlov at 5.1 till 23-24. Michael Kempney at 2.5 till 22-23. Orpik is a UFA at the end of this year.
And 7,100 years old.
Yeah. Yep. They have the Juice Box, Kristen Juice, at still on his EL. No, he's not on his ELC. At 650,000 and an RFA next year. And then Nick Jensen is currently playing at $812,000 this year, and then it jumps up to 2.5 till 23-24. So I think, here's my opinion, I think that this time last year, the Capitals went out and they acquired Michael Kempney for just cuz. And everyone was like, okay, Michael Kempney, sure. And then Michael Kempney plays like a god and has actually turned into a decent, comparing defenseman. And they wanted to find this year's Michael Kempney, and they thought that it was Nick Jensen.
Maybe it will be.
You know what? Maybe they do. I eat my words. I did not understand this trade for them.
But, I mean, they're definitely going all in. And that's, yes, I guess it shows
that. That is very obvious. And then the last trade for the week right now is one-for-one trade. We love those in Edmonton. The Dallas Stars, the New Jersey Devils, just swap Ben Lovejoy and Connor Carrick. Oh, and Connor Carrick. So the Devils get Connor Carrick and a 3rd-round pick, and Dallas gets Ben Lovejoy. I don't understand this move from Dallas.
Yeah, this trade doesn't make so
a lot of weird trades. But I think the main things were Stone, Duchesne's already traded, but Stone to Zingle. I mean, there's not really any other big fish out there, to be honest. It's really just the Ottawa.
Well, a lot of it is. Kevin Hayes from New York.
Yep.
It apparently is getting a lot of talk about him.
I've heard a lot about him in Calgary.
I thought there was 3 Rangers that are sitting right now.
Zuccarello is another one that there's a lot of talk about.
Yep.
And there might be another one, but boys, I gotta go.
All right, Dalton. Fair enough. Wait, listen, the trade deadline's 2 days away. We will get to it next week. All the last, we'll dissect it in detail and depth for our loyal listeners. So we will go and do our predictions real quick. All right, Dalton?
All right.
So a lot of games this week. We start with tonight, McDavidless in Anaheim. At Rogers Place against Anaheim. Dalton, kick us off.
Oilers lose 5-1.
Oh, man. That's a 5-1 loss. Chris, what do you think?
Oilers win 3-2.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm going to say Oilers win 4-3.
Ooh.
All right, then tomorrow the Winnipeg Jets play in Arizona against the Arizona Coyotes. Chris, what do you think?
Jets win 8-1.
Wow. An emphatic statement. Dalton, what do you think?
Jets win 5-2.
5-2 win. All right. Well, I gotta make up some ground here. So Jets lose 5-3.
Michael, I know you got to make up some ground, but I don't think that's the game to do it on.
All right. So then the Oilers play the last game of the McDavid suspension. They play in Nashville. I'll kick this one off. Oilers are losing this one 5-1. Dalton, what do you think?
Oilers lose this one 3-0.
3-0 loss. And Chris, what do you think?
Oilers win 1-0.
A 1-0 win. All right. Next up we have – that was 3. So now we have the Winnipeg Jets are playing the Minnesota Wild at home. Dalton, I'll start this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say – I guess I started the last one too. Oh, well.
Whatever, it's fine.
I'm going to say the Minnesota Wild lose to the Jets 4-2. So 4-2 Jets win. Chris, what do you think?
Say that again.
The Minnesota Wild and the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, my God. The Jets win 3-2. I hate the Wild so much.
3-2 win. Dalton, what do you think?
Jets win 4-0.
4-0 win. All right.
I actually fell asleep thinking about them playing.
Yeah. All right. So next up, the Oilers play the Toronto Maple Leafs. McDavid is back. Dalton in Toronto. Dalton, start us off.
4-0 Oilers victory.
Another 4-0 Oilers win. Chris, what do you think?
I hate Toronto so much.
Oilers win 4-0, and Connor McDavid scores all 4 goals.
Wow. So 4 McD goals. All right. McDGs. Okay. I'm going to say, oh, man. See, I watch a lot of Steve Dangle, and he does his reactions after every Leafs game, and I just want to see him scream because the Oilers beat them, and McDavid killed them. I'm going to say the Oilers win 7-3.
Well, the one game of the week the Oilers should really lose, we all bet on them winning, so that's good.
All right, then the Oilers play a back-to-back the next night in Ottawa against the Ottawa Senators. I'll start this one off. I'm going to say the Oilers are going to win this one 6-0. Dalton, what do you think?
Oilers lose 3-1.
All right. Chris.
Oilers lose 3-1.
That's what I said.
I know. That's what I should just do. I should just like copy you every time.
That would make this game very unenjoyable.
Well, I think Chris would just win at that point.
That's what I mean.
Like, he's just gonna box you out now so you can't catch up.
Right.
All right, then the Winnipeg Jets play their third game of the week at home against Nashville. Chris, what do you think?
You know what? I just don't have a good feeling. I think Nashville's going to grit it out and win 4-3.
A 4-3 Jets loss. I'll go with this one. I'm going to say the Nashville lose this game, and it is going to be, I'm going to say, a 4-3 Jets win.
Ooh. I think it's going to be a 4-1 Jets win.
4-1 wow. Jets win. All right, last game of the week. This is a matinee against the newly acquired Matt Duchene Columbus Blue Jackets. So I'll start this one off. And we will say that the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to – I'm going to say the Oilers are going to lose this one. I'm going to say they lose 2-1 in a shootout.
Mm.
Dalton, what do you think?
4-1 Oilers loss.
4-1 Oilers loss. Chris?
I'm going to say a – this is hard. I'm going to say the Oilers are going to win 2-1.
A 2-1 Oilers win. Not in regulation. Okay, boys. Well, Dalton, I know you got somewhere to be. So this has been episode 18 of South of the Blue Line. You can follow us on Twitter at Blue Line South. You can follow us on anywhere you find podcasts. You can follow us on YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify. Really anywhere that your ear holes plug into earbuds and intake content, we are there.
You got to be connected to the internet, though.
You do have to be connected to the internet. So that is it from everyone. We will talk to you all later. Chris, Dalton, see you, boys.
See you next time.